Good morning. Welcome to Searching the Scriptures. I'm Rollin McFarland, one of the ministers of the Pine Top Church of Christ. I encourage you to open your Bible and to search the Scripture with me to see whether or not the things we teach are true. Acts chapter 17, verse 11 commends the Jews of Berea for searching the Scriptures to see whether or not the things taught by the Apostle Paul were true. That should be our attitude also. If you have questions or comments regarding anything that we teach, we would like the opportunity to study the Bible with you. Check out our website at www.pinetopcoc.org and email us at pinetopchurchofchrist@gmail.com or like us on Facebook. Our desire and intent is to speak where the Bible speaks and to be silent where the Bible is silent, that we may indeed speak as the oracles of God. We invite you to the services of the Pine Top Church of Christ, 1102 Pine Top Road, Russell Springs, Kentucky, in the Windsor community of Russell County. We have Bible class beginning at 9 a.m. Central Time, followed by our worship service at 9:45, and then meet again at 4:30 Sunday evening. Believe it or not, we are halfway through the year. I'm sure many of you are like me and thinking, it's been one of the most trying years of your life. Just the uncertainty of it all is distressing. I won't deny or try to downplay the burden that has been on people this year, but I want to remind all Christians that in the comparison to eternity in heaven, this is nothing. I want to give Christians a shot in the arm, as they say, to remember that our goal of eternity is worth all the trouble we may face in this physical life. If someone listening is not a Christian, just know that there's no special trick to it, but that God desires all people to believe and obey His Son and receive the same rewards I'll be mentioning. First on our minds is the current distress. Well, in eternity, this will be so insignificant it won't even be remembered. It seems nearly impossible that physical trials will be behind us, but that's exactly what is said in Revelation 21, verse 3 and 4. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. I'll focus on verse 3 specifically later, but in verse 4, just imagine no more pain, no more sickness, no more death, no more reason for sorrow. It's so monumental because we've all faced these tragedies in our lives to some degree or another. But a Christian has hope that one day all these things will be past. It's amazing to think about. In 1 Corinthians 15, 54-58, it wraps this up nicely when it says, So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Before Christ, death reigned in this world because of sin. In Christ, however, we can overcome sin and death. This leads me to my next point about eternity. Eternal life will be the greatest mark of achievement we could ever gain. Now, this is not something we boast in because, as Ephesians 1 says, verse 7 says, In Him, that is Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. We could never earn salvation on our own, but we must obey the gospel and live faithfully in order to realize eternal life that Christ affords us. In James 1 verse 12, it says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him." It doesn't say the one who falters in temptation, but the one who endures. That's why we will be rewarded for our faith. Paul was at peace and ready for his demise in 2 Timothy chapter 4, because he knew he had kept the faith, and he knew a crown of righteousness was waiting for him. We know as Christians that the goal is worth all the trials along the journey. The third thing to emphasize goes back to Revelation 21 verse 3. In eternity, we will be in the very presence of God Almighty. That fact alone makes eternity worth it. No one has ever seen the face of God, but we do have an example where Moses, although not allowed to see, was in the presence of the Lord in Exodus chapter 33 and 34. God himself said that if he saw the full magnitude of his glory, he would die. But even with this experience, what happened to Moses? In Exodus 34, verse 29, it says, "Now it was so, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hands when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him." The face of Moses emitted light, and it scared the people so much that he wore a veil before the people after this. Read the entire chapters and envision how awesome it will be when we can stand in the full presence of God. Psalms chapter 16, verse 8 through 11 says, "I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is the fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." This passage should feel familiar because it contains a prophecy about Jesus mentioned in the first gospel sermon of Acts chapter 2. The last verse, however, is wonderful because the presence of the Lord doesn't just make us joyous a little, but full of joy. It will never end this joy we will have in the presence of God. Eternal life is the greatest achievement a Christian can aspire to gain. But eternal life will only be gained one way. In John 14, Jesus encourages his disciples that he is preparing a place for them in eternity. And they respond saying that they don't know the way to where he is going. In verse 6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." If we don't enter in Christ's way, we will not gain eternal life. There will be eternity waiting, however, eternity in hell. In Mark chapter 9, verse 43 through 48, it says, "If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed, rather than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame, rather than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye rather than having two eyes, to be cast into hell fire, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." Jesus is making a comparison, and it's true. If you had to choose between one hand in heaven or two hands in hell, then one hand in heaven is the clear answer. It means that no sin is worth missing out on eternity in heaven. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, however, you need to pay attention to an eternity in hell. The worm does not die, and the fire does not go out. People try to convince themselves that even if they were to go to hell, that they would just burn up and be gone. This passage says that will never happen, even though you will be in an eternal state of destruction. Read Revelation 20, verse 10. "The devil, who deceived them, was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." Eternity in hell is reserved for the devil and those that are his. It's even emphasized like in a kid's storybook with the words "forever and ever." This will never stop or lighten up for them. The scariest part for a person outside of Christ is found in verse 15. "And if anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." If you haven't obeyed the gospel, please understand that God has clearly laid out how to obtain eternal life in His Word. If a sign said, "Danger, cliff ahead," and you walked past it and over that cliff to your doom, whose fault is it that you ignored the clear warning? In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Verse 41 says that those who received His word were baptized, and 3,000 souls were added to them. Make sure you're steadfast in your faith for Christ, and I hope everyone is preparing themselves for life eternal. Let's search the scripture daily. Study the context, consider all the inspired writer said, and rightly divide the word of truth. In so doing, I think you'll come to the conclusion that there is a God, that He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus the Christ, who gave Himself to provide atonement for our sins, that the Bible is His holy word, and that way we will face this God on the day of judgment. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Then in verse 21 He said, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." Then in verse 24 Jesus said, "He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me." We show our love for Jesus not by saying how much we love Him, but by obeying what He has commanded. His commands are the commands of the Father. Therefore, we need to know what His commandments are so that we can keep them and thus be ready to stand before Him to give an account of our life. Thank you for being a part of this study. Until next Sunday at 7:15, have a blessed week.